Shadow Falls Badlands. The story so far. Over a century and a half ago, Galen was Thomas Lawton, the older brother to Nana, back when she was Allison Lawton. And it was only after their brother Miles sacrificed her life and the lives of others for his personal gain to get power to defeat the spirit of the coyote in the fight over who controls the realm of death that she realized his evil intent included starting what their father William believed to be Armageddon, the end of days. And now with the cycle ready to begin anew, Miles Lawton has returned to find them. Chapter 23. From deep in his throat came a dry rasp with each breath, the stink of which reeked of impending death. In the light of day, Cyril looked more like a skeleton than a man, his skin pulled taut over his face to the point where he could no longer fully close his mouth. His lips bore a slight and very cruel, unintentional grin, so that his rotten teeth shone at all times. His eyes appeared to have sunken into seemingly bottomless pools, staring outward into oblivion. "Must keep moving," he muttered. "Must keep..." The exposure had taken its toll on Cyril. The beating sun had left his skin burnt and blistered on the outside. On the inside, it had cooked his brain, turning his skull into a boiling cauldron of disjointed and violent thoughts. When his horse tired, he had left it behind and set off on foot, leaving the animal to die. That had been days ago. The exact amount of time had become a blur. What remained in his head was nothing short of complete madness. The confines of his mind raged with what the fallen one had spoken to him. Inside he felt diseased, as if he were rotting from within, like a dead tree. He continued to play back the moment in which Briar whispered to him what deep inside he had suspected, but suppressed for fear of what the truth meant about his own existence. These words, repeating over and over, had destroyed the very foundation of everything Cyril believed in, and had left him shaken and lost, like a ship without a rudder. And now he was adrift, and the only compass he was following was pointing him directly down a path of vengeance. It had been days since he had eaten or even slept, and his throat burned with dryness from lack of hydration. His body felt on the verge of collapse, but every time he stopped or closed his eyes, Cyril found himself haunted by the face of the boy, the creature who had ordered his gruesome demise, and then resurrected him to be a pawn, a tool of death with no soul, and no hope of escape from the purgatory he had been plunged into. He had been used, and now even death could not be escaped, for what followed it for him was not peace, but a jarring awakening, one that sometimes came while buried under many feet of dirt, as had been the case back at Fort Jones when he'd been executed by his commanding officer for desertion and been forced to claw his way out of a shallow grave while gasping for his own breath. And the compact Miles had made to him of an eternal rest as a reward for his servitude was as good as a promise made into the wind. For now Cyril knew he would never be released. The fallen one had told him plainly what Miles' designs were, and the consequences that wrought were so great that Cyril knew Miles would never let him go. In a world scourged by fire and plunged into darkness, his services as a hunter would be too valuable to his master. And from that point, there was no turning back. Whatever lay beyond was damnation eternal for everyone. And Cyril's body ached from lack of rest and burning hunger, but he kept moving, knowing that neither could kill him. The physical pain had abated to a dull and persistent ache, but the mental agony of having enabled the designs of a monster like Miles Lawton clawed at his mind. and now that he finally understood why he had been made to shadow Galen Altos, it was all the more important that he find him again. Through the fogginess in his brain, he could still feel the direction Altos had headed. That had not deserted him. At least not yet. Cyril knew he would only be free once Miles was gone, and his mind was working frantically how to engineer his master's annihilation before it was too late. The air felt dense as if a wet blanket of humidity had descended upon the entire camp. Nana's face drained of all its color, and Galen could see a look upon her face that made him believe she was about to turn and run. "Lot of good that'll do you," he thought to himself. "She's terrified." Nana's chest heaved as the indecision stayed in her gaze, as her eyes anxiously watched the road that dead-ended into their clearing. "Untie me," Galen said, looking right at Nana. The pockmarked face man snapped, "Don't do it!" "Shut the fuck up!" Galen barked at him and turned to Nana. "Damn it, Allison!" he screamed, and the sound of her true name finally broke Nana's stare free of the road. Gazing down at the knife in her hand, she turned to Galen and with a quick slash cut through the rope that held him to the whipping post.
"You're gonna regret that," spouted the pockmarked face man.
"No, you're gonna," thought Galen as the images of wrapping his hands around Pocky's throat stayed in his mind. He imagined the feeling of his thumbs crushing the man's windpipe. Galen rubbed his wrists, which had nearly been abraded raw from the rough-hewn rope that they used to bind him. Once the feeling returned to his fingers, he grabbed Nana's hand. "Let's go!" he shouted at her, and at first she looked at him with a mix of fear and confusion. But then her expression changed. Clenching her jaw, she nodded. And from inside Galen came a burst of whatever energy he had left as he began running with Nana in tow.
"What should we do?"
called out the pockmarked face man.
"Hold him off me as long as possible,"
she shouted back. "Yeah, good luck with that," thought Galen. He couldn't have nominated a better guy for a suicide mission. Gathering the men and summoning others to bring as many guns as they could muster, the pockmarked face man prepared them, the way bees defend their queen. As Galen and Nana made it up the hill toward Nana's cabin, he turned to her. "They will almost likely be killed, you know."
"They are magus. They have been preparing for this day," she answered.
The stare in her eyes made Galen realize she understood what he said to be true. "And what day is that?" he asked.
"The beginning of the end,"
she told him in a very matter-of-fact tone. Galen looked back at her, unsure of what she meant, though he could not shake the feeling that the dominoes had begun to fall.
"We're going to need a way out of here,"
he told her, looking at the woods surrounding the enclave. At the cabin, Galen pulled Nana behind a small wooden house and peered around to the clearing. All of the mages had assembled, carrying guns, knives, and clubs. To Galen, they looked like some kind of ragtag militia, men and boys just out of their teens. The pockmarked face man ordered those dozen or so with guns into a firing line, and their inexperience and nervousness showed, as those remaining seemed not to know what to do with themselves, milling about on the fringe until being instructed what to do next. Galen had seen many a greenhorn soldier like that in the war, men who seemed unsure why they were even there, or even which end of the gun barrel to point at the enemy. Hardly a one lived to see sunset on the day of battle, their only purpose to serve as fodder for the cannon. Nana clutched his hand as she continued to peek around the side of the cabin. Only the end of the road where it entered the clearing was visible. And though they couldn't see him, the sense of their brother's presence nearing them was unmistakable. even after more than a century and a half, the sibling bond had not diminished, though any trust they shared in each other had definitely vanished. The young man that Galen had recognized as the same one who had brought him buckets of food and water while he'd been pilloried had been sent to keep watch on the dirt road. What had been seen coming from far away, a single figure followed by a cloud of dust in its wake, had now become more clear. The figure was that of a young boy, and the growing cloud of dust rising to the sky was being created by the literally dozens of four-legged creatures that padded obediently behind him, their yellow eyes now reflecting in the sunlight, their open mouths full of sharp teeth.
"Keep an eye on your ammo! You load while the man next to you shoots!"
barked the pockmarked face man as the bucket boy came running past, his face completely pale and fear-struck.
"Where the hell are you going?"
shouted the pockmarked face man. It was one of the others in the ranks that pointed first.
"Sweet Christ,"
he said, his hand shaking with ghastly tremors. They were visible now, no more than 100 yards away. Miles Lawton led a pack of coyotes, dozens of bodies deep, creatures coiled and ready to strike, at the boy's command.
"Miles," uttered Galen, the name spilling out of his mouth.
As if a vault had opened in his brain, a flood of memories rushed through his mind. He blinked. His long-lost brother looked exactly the same as he had the last time he had laid eyes on him, back in a previous century, when they had crossed to this country aboard the Majestic. Nina's jaw dropped. Even from this distance, she could see his blank eyes, the same ones she imagined stared down at her at the bottom of the well. Her entire body seethed with anger at the sight of Miles, for there had been plenty of time for her to understand what it was her brother had become.
"No, don't," she said to Galen as he stepped out from behind the cabin, pulling away from her.
His gaze was transfixed on Miles. This was the younger brother he had known as a baby, the best and closest friend he'd had growing up. He and Miles had shared everything, and the pull towards his sibling was like the clutch of a giant claw drawing him near. And now, for the only time in his memory, in this lifetime, he felt something that he could only imagine was the sense of family, though it was coupled with something else that Galen could only identify as underlying evil. He stepped forward in the direction of Miles, overcome with a sense of need to be close to the boy, a sense to somehow protect his younger brother from the demons that shadowed him in the darkness. Inside his heart, he felt his sibling crying out to him for help, and though Nina tried to hold him back, Galen continued walking toward his brother. The movement caught Miles' eye, and as he looked up to see Galen, a smile crossed his face. The two he had come looking for were both indeed here. And soon, he thought, one of them would die again. They stopped behind Miles, these four-footed creatures of darkness, just visible through the dust, horrid misshapen beasts obedient to their master, lining as if they had been a regiment. The ground rumbled with the guttural sounds they made, wet bloodthirsty snarls intoned with the soulless quality of murder. The boy sized up the ragtag bunch in front of him, daring to believe their defiance was even worth the respect he was giving by letting them all continue to live these past few seconds.
"Loose!"
he cried, and the snarling beasts at his command descended upon the magus, as if all hell itself
had been unleashed. And that is chapter 23 of Shadow Falls Badlands. Two more chapters left. Where do Galen and Nana go from here? Come back for chapter 24 to find out. Questions? Comments? Send them to me at shadowfalls@podshowla.com. I want to hear your feedback. And big thanks, of course, to Monk, who you can find at waxboy.com for his song I Am, Molly's Theme, acoustic version. The Badlands Part 3 theme song. I have a feeling we're in for a bit of action as Shadow Falls Season 2 comes to a close, so don't miss a single moment. Till next time, this is Mark Yoshimoto Nemkov, fading to black.
I just begun. I was dead wrong. The rusted gate that swings both ways never asks my name. I am here. I am. Soft, my words are floating off. Look for my sign, for every light that shines, a shine.